We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Studs, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on the Lawrence Holmes Show.
It didn't bother me when he was talking about what Graham has done with his pass catching. I did chuckle when he started talking about how he thinks that Jimmy Graham has improved as a blocker. Here's what I want to know. Have the guys that are coaching felt similarly to Ryan Pace?
I will bet, and I don't have proof of this, but I'm sure we could probably find it, Lawrence, that if you went back every year of his career, Jimmy Graham's career, they probably all said the same thing. Oh, yeah, you know, Jimmy Graham, he's a great pass catcher, but man, I got to tell you, the blocking has improved too. When nobody really has cared about his blocking because he is such a potent pass catcher, you know what I mean? Like, deep down inside, even the coaches don't care about the blocking. It's really fun to ask the question and to get the answer and say, yeah, no, but really, we just want you to catch the damn football.
Make me a bicycle clown.
Welcome in. We are going to spend a lot of time talking about the Bears. We're going to get you ready for this game the best way that we can between now and 2 o'clock. There's a question that I threw out on Twitter. Sometimes I'll throw a show topic out on Twitter before the show just to see what you're thinking. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Lawrence W. Holmes. That would be awesome if you would do that on both platforms, Instagram and Twitter. I am there and you can find stuff. And I usually put up pictures of my roses and my hydrangeas on Instagram and in my Instagram stories. I think my hydrangeas that I cut yesterday are on my Instagram story right now. We are going to talk with J.J. Stankovic. He is going to join me coming up at 12:20. J.J. is going to join us every Friday around that time. It's great because now we get to get into having our Bears guests kind of settle into their spots, and I'm super excited about what we're going to have from a coverage standpoint throughout the season. Anthony Heron's going to be with me on Mondays, so I'm going to break down the game with him on Mondays. Dan Durkin and I are going to break down film during the week and talk about strategy. Joe Ostrowski is going to be on at 1 o'clock today, and he's going to be with me every single Friday, and we're going to talk about the best bets to be made, where there might be an opportunity to make some money, and we're going to pick Joe's brain because he's not just gambling. He's a guy who understands what's going on in the world of sports. There is some room for baseball today, considering that the Cubs offense woke up yesterday, and that was really good to see. A couple of numbers I want to throw your way before we kind of really dig in on what's going on with the Bears, because it's Bears Friday, right? Like, we're gonna talk about the Bears as the season gets ready to open up. But I want to throw a couple numbers your way when it comes to the Cubs last night. I feel like seeing their offense start to, even if it's a glacial move, to move forward is a good thing. They erupt last night. They end up with 8 runs. They have 5 runs in an inning last night. And the guys that you were wanting to see be a part of this offense were a part of the offense. Rizzo was 2 for 4, had an RBI and a walk. And that's after he had gone 1 for his last 22. I mean, a lot of focus had been placed on Bryant and Baez, but Rizzo has been on the struggle bus along with them. Quietly, which is weird because when you think about baseball and you think about the Cubs, you don't think of Wilson Contreras as quiet. That's why he's one of my favorites. quietly over the last 10 games, he's hitting .457. So his offense is cranked back up, and you got to see if that's going to be enough to help carry this bunch. Cameron Maybin, I actually like him as an addition. I know that he made the kind of bizarre play and left that turned a single into extra bases, but I kind of like him as an addition to this squad. He goes 2-for-5 last night. Nico Horner had a terrific game, did a lot of stuff right, not just with the bat. He did some great stuff. Like, the Cubs overall yesterday in the game, I thought, were tremendous with their base running. I'm a huge fan of Chris Bryant as a base runner. It's one of the great things about getting him on base is that he's a smart base runner and he understands how to run the bases. He never seems to be out of control when he's rounding third base. And it's one of the things I love about him as a player. But Nico Horner yesterday, grabbing extra bases, the whole team was doing that. They were trying to put pressure on Cincinnati's defense, and they were successful in doing that. So the Cubs win last night. They've got a 3-game lead over the Cardinals. They have a 5-game lead on Milwaukee, who they start a series with. And you can pretty much be done with them. Like, this is the same scenario as the Cardinals last week. The Cubs didn't succeed. But with the Brewers, you can be done with them if you take care of business this week. And again, quietly, the Cubs did win 2 out of 3 from the Reds. And we discussed it a little bit yesterday. It just doesn't feel like it. It doesn't feel like they won a series because you're like, is this offense going to play once we get to the postseason? And I have questions about that, and all your questions about it are legitimate. Here's something to take with you, though, because I know that Chris Bryant and his OPS has been in the 500s. I think it just crept above 600 last night. Chris Bryant, in 3 out of the last 4 games, has multi-hit games. So that's something. And maybe it's a start. Because I love him when he's on base, so maybe it's just a start. I watched Thursday Night Football last night. It was weird. I'm not going to lie. It was a little weird to – I don't feel like I'm quite in rhythm for football. And I know why that is. I mean, beyond the pandemic, it's also like training camp being different. Training camp being different for everybody and specifically the Bears, where the coverage of training camp – and I know the reporters that are on the beat, like, they got a chance to watch a lot of practice, which is great. But even the tradition of going down to Bourbonnais and not being a part of that, like, it, the rhythm of it is not quite right. And I was joking about this yesterday with Mel. I was saying how Labor Day kind of showed up, and that was the end of summer. I know that it's kind of a mark every year, but I'm talking about in Chicago specifically. It's like Labor Day was here, it was 80 degrees, and then someone was like, I'm out. Peace. And then all of a sudden it was fall and gray. And I don't think we've seen the sun since Labor Day. Which is okay. It's good for my lawn and my flowers. But we're seeing temperatures in the 50s on Tuesday night. So that makes it feel a little bit more like fall. But there hasn't been an easing into this thing like there usually is. So I'm trying to get ready. Like, I'm watching all this tape and I'm watching all these press conferences, and I am curious what an NFL stadium is going to look like with a game with nobody in it. I will say that I have gotten used to watching games without fans, so it was bizarre to watch Kansas City take on Houston last night and there actually be fans in the crowd. And when Al said, he goes, yeah, we're not piping in that sound. Like, that's the 15,000 or whatever it was that was there. I was like, oh, yeah, they've got fans in the stands. And the cameras, for the most part, stayed field level. There was no real reason to pan the stands. They did a couple of times. But it was weird. And then it became not weird. Because it looks like Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City, they haven't missed a beat. It looks like, oh, we'll add Edwards-Alaire to what we do, and we'll be dangerous. I was saying this to Danny and Dan yesterday during transition. I'm very worried about what the Houston offense looks like without DeAndre Hopkins, and you saw it early and often in the game yesterday. I like their receivers, but not as focal points. Their needs, like their complementary receivers. And without DeAndre Hopkins, I think it's going to be really difficult for them to score at the rate that they were or look as dangerous as they were offensively. Like, first play of the game. This was a big problem of receivers not named DeAndre Hopkins last year. Just perfectly thrown balls that were dropped. And it happened again last night. Sunday will obviously be weird for me because I'm not hosting the football after show anymore. I can't remember the last time outside of bye weeks that I can just kind of sit and watch a Bears game. Like, I can watch a Bears game, like, sitting on the couch, and I'm going to do some stuff on Twitter, and obviously, like, I'll do a pod for House of L after the game is over, and the score and I are hooking up so that we can do something for, like, a little mini, teeny, tiny post-game thing. It's going to be really weird. I still haven't figured out how I'm watching Sunday. Like, is it a couch watch? Is it a desk watch? Like, that sort of thing. But trust me, I'll figure it out. Here's the question that I have on the table, and you can respond via the text zone for right now. I'm going to ask you to call in a little bit later on, but the number is the same, 312-644-6767. Here's what I need you to do in your text, okay? I need you to give me one word, like a one-word sentence about how you feel about the upcoming Bear season, and then an explanation. So let's say, well, this is hyphenated, but I'll use like a Ryan Pace word, okay?
Fired up.
And then explain why you're fired up about it. So if you could send me the text, 312-644-6767 is the number. One word, period, or exclamation point, or maybe even question mark, and then some sentences to back it up. Do that for me, all right? We're going to take a break. When we come back, J.J. Stankovic, his first hit of the season. We're going to talk with J.J. every week. He covers the Bears for NBC Sports Chicago. He's terrific, and he'll give you the latest that's going on with the beloved. We're going to talk with him next here on The Score.
Have a little fun, brother.
Let's go.
Okay? Have an awesome game today, man.
J.J. Stankovic, covering the Bears for NBC Sports Chicago.
You are still taking your fitness very seriously.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to go drink beer and have pizza after this, but I earned it.
Every single Friday.
Gotcha. I want to see it come out of you right here.
Yes, sir.
You take this thing over right now.
Yes, sir.
J.J. Stankovic with Lawrence Holmes on 670 The Score.
I'm not going to lie, J.J. is one of my favorites. He joins me now on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford has 500 new and used vehicles for you at Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park, or you can go to alpamonteford.com. He covers the Bears for NBC Sports Chicago. He is my friend, J.J. Stankovic. J.J., thanks for joining me. I appreciate it.
Can you believe, Lawrence, in 48 hours, we're going to be watching the Chicago Bears play a football game?
It's a little weird. It's so funny you bring that up, JJ. I was talking about it in the last segment that I feel a little bit out of sorts and off rhythm but just because of how preseasons usually go. And I know that everyone is adjusting to it. Does it feel that way for you, or because you're in it every day, you're totally ready for this?
No, it feels that way for me, Lawrence, because everyone I talk to feels the way you feel. And I get it. Like, there weren't preseason games on that you could watch a quarter of, make a comment to whoever's in the room, I hate preseason games, and turn off. There's, you know, you couldn't pop down to training camp. You couldn't get Greg Braggs' videos on Twitter of training camp highlights. Like, there was none of that. And it just was such a weird lead up to the season. I'll say from a workflow standpoint, it feels like the regular season starting because, you know, we're doing a lot on NBCSportsChicago.com right now. But just in terms of like a fan excitement standpoint, it feels weird. And Lawrence, I think another part of it is that also I think Bears fans are kind of sick of the talk. Like, let's just go out and see how Mitch does and go from there.
Okay, so they make the decision to make Mitch the quarterback. I know that you kind of did a 180 on this throughout the offseason and trying to figure out if it made more sense to have Foles or if it made more sense to have Mitch. Now that you've had a little bit of time to digest this and talk to people around the Bears, was this the right move for game one?
Yes. Based on what we saw in training camp, what the Bears felt they saw in training camp, this was the right move for game one. Now, if we want to expand this conversation further to anything beyond that, I think you can argue against this being the right move. But given the information the Bears had and the players they had between Trubisky and Foles, this was the right move. I think the thing that stood out for me the most, Lawrence, was hearing from Nick Foles on Sunday and him, without using it as necessarily an excuse, but hearing him basically say, yeah, I was at a disadvantage in this thing. And it was going to be difficult for him to go out and win it under the circumstances. And also because Nick Foles is not a elite quarterback. Like, you're not dropping Dak Prescott into Chicago and being like, well, he's at a disadvantage. He's still going to win the job. Nick Foles was not going to have a better shot at winning the job because of the way the offseason was structured. And with, you know, with nothing in the spring, him coming in, having to learn people's names first and foremost, and then learning, you know, while he has an experience with these coaches, Matt Nagy's never called plays for him. And I think that maybe factored a little bit in with Mitch. And then to Mitch's credit, he did do the things that the Bears wanted him to do. I know there was a lot of emphasis on some of the high-profile mistakes that he made during training camp, like running out of bounds in a goal line drill and underthrowing a deep ball to Riley Ridley that got picked off and plays like that. And those you can't just gloss over. But for the most part, Bears coaches liked what they got out of Mitch during training camp. So that leads them to pick him. The question I have is obviously how long his leash is, but will Matt Nagy have kind of an itchy trigger finger because he's seen Mitch have these ups and downs and more downs than ups for the last 2 years? That to me is going to be the thing to watch throughout the season. Is if Mitch has a couple of bad drives, are we peering onto the sidelines to see if Nick Foles has a ball in his hand?
It's so funny that you bring that up too, JJ, because I wanted to ask you about this. Me and Herbie were having this debate off the air. We were discussing it during a break. Let's say everything goes great for the Bears. Let's say that they're up 3 touchdowns with 6 minutes left to play. Does it make sense for the Bears to play Foles because he's had no preseason?
No, and here's why. I had a really good conversation with Tony Dungy on the Under Center podcast this week, and that's out today. And I asked him about his time in Tampa Bay when he had Sean King as a starting quarterback, if you remember, for a couple of years. And then they brought in Brad Johnson. This was 2001, his last year there. And Brad Johnson started all 16 games that year. And I asked him, like, when he had a bad game, did you ever have the urge to just go back to Sean King? And he said, no, because if you start going between quarterbacks in a game, in a season, it will not only discombobulate the quarterbacks, it'll discombobulate your entire team because they're not going to know who their quarterback is. You have to stick with your starter as long as you can. And in this instance, Lawrence, I get why you would do that to get Foles some experience. But if you do that, you might be sending a message to the rest of the team like, Mitch is our guy now, but he's not going to be our guy as soon as he screws up. And that will not engender any confidence in Mitch Trubisky with the guys on the team. So, no, I don't think you can do that. I think you do that if it's a blowout, you know, and not – I mean, 3 scores with 6 minutes to go is not totally a blowout. We're talking like Tampa Bay 2018 type of blowout is when you would just pull everyone and get Foles some reps. But I don't think you do that if the game is not 100% in hand.
All right, that's fair enough. How worried should I be about Robert Quinn not practicing?
Ooh. Man, Lawrence, I think this is – we'll see what the injury report is today. I'll just have that caveat. But Robert Quinn's absence has not only been this week. We have not seen Robert Quinn on the practice field during the open portion of Bears practice since we noticed he first was not out there on September 1st, which is the Bears' first practice open to the media after their scrimmage at Soldier Field, where Robert Quinn took part in 11-on-11 team drills for the first time during training camp. This is an ankle injury. Matt Nagy said it's not related to the slow ramp-up he had during training camp, but if I'm a betting man, Robert Quinn is not playing this week for the Bears.
Okay. What about Khalil Mack?
I think Khalil Mack's going to play. He's on our list of players who we're going to talk to on Zoom today, and knowing Khalil's aversion to talking to the media, if he weren't going to play on Sunday, or if it was even a question, he probably wouldn't be talking to us today. So I think Mack will probably be fine. He's been limited. That could be more of a extreme precaution thing for the Bears. I don't necessarily think that's anything really nefarious, at least in comparison to Quinn.
What are the odds that he's on the Peloton again?
Oh, man, if he's on the Peloton, we're scheduled to talk to him around 2. If he's on the Peloton, we're going to get him around 5:30. But, hey, if it takes him riding his exercise bike to talk to us, I'll take it. Khalil Mack is a really fun interview. He just genuinely does not like doing it. It's not any malice toward us or anything. He just doesn't like talking about himself.
No, I get that, and you're right. When he does open up, he's interesting, and that's why I think people want to hear from him more, because he's got a sense of humor. He a lot of times he has to be bleeped, and I appreciate that. There's a lot there, and he's the best player, so you want to hear from the best player.
Yeah, he genuinely, though, is a – how can I put this the right way? He's a reserved person. If he were like, I don't want to talk to them, and then was out on his Instagram, promoting everything that he does and going on Instagram Live after every single game and all that, I think he'd probably be a little full of it, but he doesn't do any of that. I mean, he genuinely is just like, I just want to play football and be with my teammates and work out. And that is what he enjoys to do. And if talking to us is not a part of that, I don't think, again, it's anything, anything that would make him someone who's kind of full of it.
NBC Sports Chicago's own J.J. Stankovic joining me here on The Score. I know that when it comes to you, you've got legal pads, you've got notepads, you've got stuff on your phone that is interesting. What are you looking forward to seeing? Like, what are the things that you have starred in your notepad once this game becomes real?
Yeah, so the number one thing is tracking 12 personnel usage for me. We've heard, and we've saw, everyone who's listened to The Score has heard the hype about Jimmy Graham and Cole Kmet. And I want to see how that translates to a game, not just what they do in terms of their passing game production, but just how often they're on the field. Because I've been pounding the table about this all offseason, that there is an untapped part of Matt Nagy's offense that we have not seen because he just has not had the personnel at tight end, and that's with 12 personnel usage. The Eagles and the Chiefs use 12 personnel. They're in the top 5 in the NFL in the last 2 years in using it. The Bears are in the bottom third of the league. So if the Bears can get that 12 personnel usage, I want to just track how often they're on the field, and then obviously what the play success is, not necessarily if they're throwing to Kmet or Graham, but what is the play success of that? And then the other flip side of that is I got a big circle around Jalen Johnson. If Kenny Golladay doesn't play, maybe it's diminished a little bit, but if you got Kenny Golladay and Marvin Jones out there, Jalen Johnson's NFL debut is going to be really, really difficult. Those two guys are two of the best in the league at contested catches. And Johnson said, you just got to be able to kind of time your punch, knock the ball out right, because those guys are two of the best go up and get it guys in the NFL. So how he matches up against a really good wide receiver, presuming that Golladay and Jones both are playing on Sunday. Those are kind of the two big things I have circled to watch on Sunday.
All right, now let me whiteboard this for the listener, because I know that you and I end up talking in football jargon all the time. Not everyone is up on the jargon. So when you hear JJ talk about 12 personnel, he's talking about one back, two tight ends. Okay, so if someone says 12 personnel, the first number is the running back, the second number is the tight end. You flip that around. 21 personnel is two backs, one tight end, and then 11 personnel, one back, one tight end, meaning three wide receivers are on the field. Got it? Good. Okay, speaking of backs, David Montgomery. I'm shocked that he's basically back at practice, and I will say that I'm a little worried, to tell you the truth, because I know that, guys get some treatment, that they feel like they've had a really bad like groin strain and everything seems cool. And all my worry is when you're running and in a game situation, it's different from practice and you try to make a cut. Like, that's my concern. I hope that he's good to go and has no problems, but I'd be lying to you, JJ, if I didn't tell you that I'm worried that he's going to take like a massive cut on his own play and then he's going to be hurting.
So I'll say this for the Bears. They are – Andre Tucker and Matt Nagy are very cautious with injuries. They often are – I mean, sometimes you can criticize them for being overly cautious. I certainly am not doing that. But, you know, they will let players take their time to get back into, you know, as close to 100% as possible. And if David Montgomery is full go on Sunday, I don't think it's – a reckless decision by them. And I think if he's going to play, then the risk of him aggravating that groin is probably the same that it would have been had he not had the injury back in August. You know, and we talked to David Montgomery, and he kind of downplayed what he did in practice before Thursday's practice, but then he was full go in Thursday's practice. So, you know, Tariq Cohen kind of let us know on Wednesday, like, hey, you guys in the media maybe made a little bigger of a deal about David's injury than we did in here. He's like, he kind of looks fine. He looks like same old David. So
yeah, but you know what? Let me push back on Tariq a little bit on this.
Okay.
Because David himself was like, yeah, I thought I ripped it off the bone. So don't let's not act like we were the ones that were bringing a cart out for the guy. Like, that wasn't us that did that. That was y'all.
I mean, yeah. You know, and that's probably Tariq being Tariq a little bit. But, you know, I think having watched about 10 minutes of David Montgomery running around at practice yesterday, I don't want to extrapolate too much off of that, but he looked fine. I certainly didn't notice anything in how he was moving that would have told me this guy's not 100%. And look, I think the Bears were always ready to just kind of roll with Cordero Patterson, Tariq Cohen, and Ryan Nall for a week if they needed to. So if that being a possibility for them, I think they're not going to rush Montgomery back. Also, the Lions' run defense is really not very good. I think that you could probably beat them with Cordero Patterson back there. So that to me points to Montgomery being probably fine for Sunday's game.
Ah, the Lions defense, the last thing that we're going to talk about in our hit,
yeah.
JJ. New coordinator, there's talk that they're really kind of running a little bit more of a traditional 4-3. Do you expect that they will play man against Trubisky?
So, yes, I do, because it's Matt Patricia, and Matt Patricia is a coach who is kind of stuck in his ways in terms of what he does. You know, we asked Anthony Miller that, and he was kind of like, they're going to play what they're going to play, which is what they've played the last 2 years. I'm less worried, though, about the man versus zone deal, Lawrence, than I am how much Matt Patricia actually sends pressure against Trubisky.
Mm-hmm.
Because Mitch Trubisky is a quarterback who, if he's not under pressure, he can probably go out and pick you apart if you have suboptimal players like the Lions defense has a lot of. And I think if Matt Patricia is just going to say, we're just going to rush four all game and play man, Mitch is going to rip him up again. But if he says, all right, we're going to try to design a couple pressures here, maybe get someone in Mitch's face up the middle, or, you know, have like a nickel blitz or just something to throw Mitch out of his rhythm, that is where I'm concerned. I'm less concerned about the man versus zone deal than I am upon the Bears if the Lions send some blitzes that Mitch has not seen from the Lions. That, to me, is where this battle is going to be won and lost for the Detroit Lions on Sunday.
How does this coverage thing work as far as the games go, JJ? Are you going to Detroit?
No, I'm not going to Detroit. I'm not traveling anywhere. I personally don't have any interest in staying in a hotel. You know, with the two little ones back home, gotta keep them safe. But it's going to be weird. I'm down here in my basement right now, and I'm going to have two laptops open. One where I can make my notes on the game. One where I can send some tweets. And then I'm going to have my iPad open with the NFL GSIS website that constantly updates stats in the game and has a flip card. And then on the TV that's right in front of my desk is going to be the football game. So going to be a lot of things going on in a very small space in my basement. But all the credit on Sunday is going to have to go to my wife, Betsy, for taking care of 2 9-month-old babies while I'm down here just trying to make this whole coverage from home thing work.
So did you mean to on Instagram do Tired and Wired with your boys? Because that's what it ended up being. I don't know if you realize that.
Yeah, well, they're actually their most photogenic selves in the morning, which is the opposite of what everyone is as an adult. So, you know, they photograph pretty well, I would say.
They do. And I brought a big smile to my face to see them like, oh, we're up now. The world's different, and we're up, and we're ready to go. So good on you for sticking around and helping the wife out with this. Like, it's a co-parenting type of thing. And you're getting them ready for some Bears football. This is exciting that they get to see their first season from the beginning of the season. This is good stuff right here.
Yeah, I mean, the first day we brought Henry home from the NICU was, I believe, the Bears-Chiefs game last year. So he didn't really miss anything toward the end of last year. But he'll like the fact that there's a flickering screen on, and that'll probably enrapture him for an entire afternoon.
I mean, JJ, that's pretty much every American on Sunday. Like,
we're just getting him started early.
That's right. You got him in there. Sir, have a wonderful time. Thanks so much. A great hit as usual.
All right, be well, Lawrence. Thank you.
That is JJ Stankovic. He's pretty awesome. I'm glad that we're going to have him on the shows every Friday to break stuff down for us. He's up at Halas taking care of business. He's on the Zooms, all that good stuff. Here at The Score, before every game, tune in to the Bet Rivers Sportsbook pregame show with Hub Arkish, Patrick Manley, and Olin Krutz. Go to BetRivers.com or download the Bet Rivers app from the App Store now. This Sunday, the pregame show starts at 9 a.m. I want to go a little bit deeper into that discussion that I was having with JJ about the Lions defense and what defense they're going to run. I threw that question out at Stacey Dales yesterday because she's been covering both teams. You'll want to hear her answer, and I want to get back to your thoughts, your one word plus a sentence about how you feel about the Bears season getting the start. We're going to do all of that next here on The Score.
I'm excited and very anxious. It's only Wednesday, so I know we got a few practices to go before we get to game day. So it's all about taking it one day at a time, making sure this offense is going out to practice and staying focused and executing what we got to be great at on Sunday. But I would say I'm just super excited with everything going on. We're excited to kick off the season and just proud of the way our team has handled everything on and off the field and how we continue to just come closer together and overcome the obstacles so we're able to get on the right start to kick off the season the right way.
And that's what the Bears are hoping to do on Sunday, get off to a good start. And when you look at Mitch's numbers against the Lions, there's good reason to believe that they will. Mitch versus the Lions is a 106.3 passer rating. He's completed 70% of his passes. He has a 3-1 touchdown interception ratio. He's been a really good quarterback when he faces Detroit, and specifically when he faces Matt Patricia-led defenses. Anthony Miller actually said something about this earlier in the week, the idea that Detroit does play man and that the Bears have had success going against it.
Just the schemes that they play, you know, I feel like we take full advantage of the defenses that they come with. So I feel like we'll be prepared this week as well. We don't think they're going to change their defense too much, but in any situation, I feel like we'll adjust well either way.
I appreciate his honesty I'm curious. Like, to me, that is the biggest story of this game outside of injury. Like, if Robert Quinn doesn't play, that's a pretty big story. But outside of that, what the Lions do on defense is intriguing to me. Now, Corey Unland is going to be the play caller now on defense. Matt Patricia has given those play calling duties up, and they're kind of in a more traditional 4-3 defense. Trey Flowers, the really good defender for the Lions, he was talking yesterday about Trubisky and how the games against Trubisky have been frustrating for the Lions defense because the version that they see is not the version that the rest of the league sees against Mitch.
I don't know what necessarily he's able to do against other teams, but I know against us, quite a few times we allow him to escape the pocket, and he has receivers that can definitely run, and he's able to extend the pocket and throw the ball down the field to, you know, all those speed guys and guys in the back end that can cover well. But when you're dealing with him being able to extend the pocket for 6 and 7 seconds, that's a tough task for guys in the back end. So I just know from what he's able to do against us, you know, he was, you know, able to extend that time, you know, look for guys down the field. If you don't see guys, he definitely can run and has the speed to run. So, yeah, I don't know what why he can't do it against other people, but, you know, I know that hurt us.
Yeah, it should hurt you because that's what he's good at. If you play man, Mitch going to beat you, period. He's good enough to beat you. What is interesting is something that Trey Flowers said is something that other defenders have said, and that's keep him in the pocket. We want him to try to win from the pocket. That being said, if you play man, even with Mitch in the pocket, I think that he beats you. But considering there is a new defensive play caller in Detroit, maybe we will see something different. Yesterday, I had Stacey Dales on the show. She covers the NFL. She's stationed here in Chicago. She's been covering both the Bears and the Lions this week. And I asked her about whether or not Matt Patricia is going to be stubborn and play man when they know that Mitch eats that up.
Not only adding one, right, in Corey Unland, Lawrence, but, like, now you're going to call the plays. Like, giving up your play call duties if you're Matt Patricia, that's a big deal. And the scheme hasn't worked. It was interesting, to your point, to listen to Anthony Miller, receiver for the Bears. He was asked this week because they've won 4 in a row now against these Lions. In fact, the Lions haven't defeated the Bears since 2017. Like, it's been a long time. And his response was, I'm paraphrasing here. This is not a quote, but a paraphrase. Basically, when we know their scheme, we've got it figured out. We knew exactly how to attack their scheme. Like, as if to say, we know what they do, and it's not good enough. We're better. So, you know, when Trubisky has like a 75% completion rate against this defense, I think, and then you look at the numbers last year for Detroit, 31st total defense. They were the worst passing defense in the NFL. They didn't sack the quarterback. They didn't get after the quarterback. I mean, they were at the bottom of the barrel in a number of metrics, almost every statistical metric. So I'll be, to your point, fascinated to see the coordinator change, how the play calls are. You mentioned man. Do we see more zone? I mean, it'll be interesting to see how they come out of the gate, especially with a lot of new faces. I mean, I don't know how many Patriots are on this defense at this stage, but you got Jamie Collins added, you know, Duron Harmon in the secondary, Danny Shelton. I mean, Trey Flowers a couple of years ago. You got all these Patriots. Jeff Okuda, the rookie in the secondary, and then Dez Trufant, the savvy veteran. It'll be fun to watch and see who has improved, you know, the 29th total offense from last year or the 31st total defense.
So let's add in what JJ was talking about, too. Let's add in the idea of maybe it's not just man versus zone. Maybe it's pressure versus no pressure. One of the things that I don't understand about Patricia is playing man without pressuring up front. I feel like it puts a lot of pressure on your back four to cover. And if you are, like Trey Flowers was saying, giving quarterbacks 5 or 6 seconds to allow them to survey the field and allow guys to find open spots and beat your guys, that to me is a scary proposition. It's a very scary proposition. I'm curious. I think it's the most important thing about this game. What they do defensively. Because if they do play man and they don't blitz behind it, you're going to be a happy Bears fan on Monday morning. But if they put pressure on, then I think we'll get a better sense of where Mitch is. If they play zone, if they zone blitz, I think we'll have a better sense of where Mitch is as a quarterback from where he left off last year. I'm going to talk with Joe Ostrowski about that. I'm going to talk with him about what you should bet in the Bears game if you are thinking about betting. And I'm going to ask him how good it felt to get that back door over last night with Kansas City. We're going to do that next here on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.